The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and we welcome you to the broadcast today. Again, we are live here on Facebook. We're giving everybody just a moment to hop on here live on Facebook. And while you guys are hopping onto the broadcast, if this is your first time joining us, again, I welcome you to the podcast. I'm Ricky Scaparello, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And if this is your first time joining us, we welcome you to the broadcast. Please let us know where you guys are joining us from in the comments section below. Again, we welcome you guys on YouTube and as well as our podcast listeners. So today, I had something else lined up, but this article broke this morning. We shared this on our main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And this story has gone viral, and it's really mind-boggling why it's even controversial in the body of Christ. So that's what we're going to discuss today. So that's what you're seeing there in the title is Church Letter Goes Viral. Let me give you a little bit of a backdrop on this to get started. And then I'm going to explain why I think it's mind-boggling that it is even gone viral, to be honest with you, in the body of Christ, or why it's even controversial. So let's get started on this thing. Let me pull up the headline here. This is right here on your screen. You're going to see this on, if you're watching the visual format of this. This is the headline that went viral. A Tennessee church's form of church discipline goes viral. This was posted or reported by church leaders, but I believe some local affiliates also reported this as well. So I'm going to leave this up on the screen. I'm going to read this to you. Obviously, this is a woman's hand covering the letter that was sent to her from West Sparta Church of Christ in Sparta, Tennessee. So this is coming out of Tennessee. A woman who is obviously an attendee, she attends this church, she's a member of this church, received a letter at the end of February from three of the local church's elders. She shared this photo of the church discipline letter on her Facebook page. And since then, it has gone viral. Under the church's letterhead and with the name of the recipient covered, here is the following content of the letter. Quote, "For the last several weeks, we have noted that you have stopped attending the assembly of the church. After attempts to discuss this situation with you, we fear that you are no longer convinced in the need to assemble with the church for which Christ died. We are very saddened by your decision. This failure to assemble is not the only problem that you must address. Quote, we have been informed and understand that you have a living arrangement that is not biblical and must be terminated immediately. In other words, it's been addressed to the church eldership that she is sleeping with another, with a man or who knows, or in other words, she's having relations outside of the ordinance of marriage. The old timers used to call shacking up. Quote, this action alone reflects that you have not avoided, quote, all appearance of evil as the scripture directs us. And they quote 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Please understand our obligation as shepherds. First, we must watch for your soul, and they quote Hebrews 13:17, that's scripture there. And second, protect the congregation by withdrawing from every brother or sister that walks disorderly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. If these issues, quote, are not corrected in public, repentance made by Sunday, February 21st, 2021, we will withdraw your fellowship. And again, this was a letter that was sent out by the elders of that church. Now, since this woman addressed this publicly and shared this on Facebook, obviously covering up her name, covering up names that was involved, this has exploded and went viral on the internet, and the comments are mind-boggling. Everything from this church is wrong. This church is overreacting. This church shouldn't be reacting like this at all. The, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let me give you two of my opinions. Number one, is the church wrong in addressing this woman having sex outside of marriage and being a part of the church or a member of the church? The answer is no. Now, I'm going to show you this. If people are in this much of an uproar about these elders rebuking this woman or addressing this woman living in sin, then what are they going to do? Again, from so-called Christians that are upset about this, what are they going to do with the writings of the Apostle Paul who wrote to the church of Corinth? Let me show you what I'm talking about. In the church of Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul said this, quote, this is his letter to the church. And by the way, he was an apostle in whom he was appointed over these churches for the affairs of these churches. He would consistently check up on the affairs of the church. He would ask what was going on with these churches. He was responsible. He felt responsible for these churches because these are the churches that he planted through Asia Minor and different places in the New Testament. So again, the church of Corinth, it was reported to the Apostle Paul that there was sexual immorality taking place in the church. And listen how the Apostle Paul dealt with this church of Corinth in a letter. Again, a letter, same situation here. Listen to this quote. This is 1 Corinthians 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. That's the church in Corinth. And such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles. And then he tells you more details about what's going on. Quote, there is a man that has his father's wife. Or in other words, there's a man that is sleeping with his mother-in-law in the church. And he says, quote, and you, speaking of the church, are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Or in other words, removed or expelled from the church. That's the Apostle Paul writing this in the New Testament. Quote, for I indeed as absent in body, but present in spirit. In other words, he was not there physically to address this problem in the church. He was addressing it by a letter that was written to the church. Now listen to this. For indeed as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were actually present. Him who has done such a deed. Who is this? This is the young man in the church, again, who is committing fornication with his mother-in-law, and it's been reported back to the Apostle Paul. So listen to this. Here's the instructions the Apostle Paul gives to the church pastor of Corinth. He says, quote, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean when he says, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh and that his spirit may be saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's what it means. First of all, let me address another issue that the elders were concerned about. The reason why the elders were concerned about this woman's absence from the fellowship with other believers is because, did you know the Bible commands us? The Word of God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some, even more so as you see the day approaching. The day of what? The day of the Lord. So it is actually a commandment of the New Testament church that we gather together as a body of believers. Now listen, hold up. I understand being, especially being that we're doing this via by internet or by media broadcast, I understand fully that there may not be individuals that are watching this today or listening to this today. And by whatever circumstances or whatever means may be taking place in your circumstance or situation, maybe you're not able to physically gather together with other believers. So in that essence, that's why we have a, that's why we allow such a situation as this to take place, so that maybe you're not physically able to gather with other believers, or maybe there, you don't have a church in your area because there's no spirit-filled churches. We get that. We understand that. We get letters all the time. We get messages all the time. We get all that. Those concerns are given to us. So I want to kind of set you aside for a second, because you are gathering together. If you're able to right here live with other brothers and sisters and try to get into a gathering together or fellowship with other believers so you can be accountable. Okay. So we get that. But for everyone else who you can physically attend a body of believers, whether it's a cell group, a home group, a church, a brick and mortar church where you can gather with other believers, then again, that the, again, the New Testament commands us to come together as believers. Why? Well, here's why. Not for quote organized religion per se, but we are the ecclesia. We, the church, the body, we make up the ecclesia. We make up the body of Christ. And we, when we come together, we encourage one another. We exhort one another. Come on, somebody. We strengthen one another. We hold one another accountable. Listen, it's easier for individuals in the body of Christ to backslide. Yes, I said backslide because I believe you can backslide. I believe that you can fall away. I believe that you can get to a place where you begin to stay absent from the body of Christ, stay absent from accountability, and then all of a sudden you stop reading your Bible, you stop going to prayer meetings, you stop wanting to get into his presence, stop getting into worship, and then eventually you find yourself isolated because the enemy knows that he can pick you off when you're isolated and you're alone. Thus, this is why there's such an important emphasis on coming together, so that we can testify to one another. We can build each other up. Come on. We overcome the devil, come on, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We share these testimonies one to another, and it encourages us and builds us up. But let me move a little bit further. There's also protection and strength in numbers. See, watch this. When I am together with my brothers and sisters and I'm going through a battle, they can come together, gather around me, pray for me, intercede for me, and stand in the gap for me, plead the blood of Jesus over me. And there's power in numbers. If one can set 1,000 to flight, two can set 10,000 to flight. Come on, a threefold cord is not easily broken. But the Bible says, woe unto the man who falls, and when he falls alone, for there's no one there to uphold him. How can any two walk together lest they be agreed? So the enemy understands this, and this is why he wants to get you alone. So when we get together, there is a greater measure of protection. This is why the Apostle Paul instructed the church of Corinth when he found out that there is a man in the congregation, in the church body, who's committing sexual immorality. He says, here's what you're going to do. He says, when you come together and you gather together, he says, deliver such a one to Satan. The way he delivered that boy or that young man up to Satan was he cut off fellowship. He disfellowshipped him from the gathering, from the body of believers. So now it removes him, and in essence, it removes a hedge of protection around him so that it gives Satan access to him. Why do you think he says deliver him to Satan? Come on. So that he can for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the end. Because the Apostle Paul understood a principle that we need to understand. When we willfully defy, come on, the word and the spirit of God and go against what the word of God tells us, we temporarily lower the hedge and we allow the enemy to come in. Now, I believe, again, according to the revelation the Apostle Paul got here, is that the church, in their prayer and intercession over this young man, they asked the Lord to put some type of protection around him so that he would not lose his life, that he would go to hell, but that, come on, that the enemy would, I don't even know how to, listen, I'm a Kentucky boy, so I'm just going to speak this in my Kentucky language. Basically, they said, we want to give the enemy some permission to whoop up on this boy a little bit so that he'll get a little bit, I'm going to say it like this. I had a pastor one time said, we're either going to learn the easy way or we're going to learn the hard way. And the hard way is the school colors are black and blue. Come on. Some of y'all can't learn these lessons. Y'all can't learn these things and graduate from certain things unless you go through the school of hard knocks. Come on, perhaps you know somebody like that. Listen, I've been like that in some things, that God has had to take me to the school of hard knocks. I had to get beaten up a little. Not that God's beating me up, but he allows me to, come on somebody, to go through some hard knocks so that I can learn the lessons I need to learn. Come on, graduate from the course I need to graduate and move on. And come on, and go to the deeper things. So, here's this young man that was disfellowshipped from the church, and now the devil's whooping on him. And you can go over here into 2 Corinthians, and I can show you where the Apostle Paul says that there comes a time when there is true repentance being displayed from this young man, that we are to reconcile them back into the fold. So far I have not found. Now, the only thing I found that could be remotely wrong about what these elders are saying here is probably the way that it was expressed, not the point that they're making, but perhaps the delivery that was made. But overall, guys, what these elders are saying to this woman is, I don't believe it's out of hand. But the reason why this has stirred up so much controversy in the body of Christ is because we have lowered the standards so far and so low in the body of Christ that when a pastor or someone in leadership actually does or expresses something that's biblical, then the body of Christ freaks out about it because they're not used to biblical principles. Oh, I lost half of you right there. Listen, we had over 100 people on here live and we've done shaved it down. Why? Because people don't want to hear this. Oh, you mean I can't live the same life listen, I live in the South. I live in Georgia. Listen, I can go down to Walmart down here in Monroe, Georgia, and I can find 25 people and ask them if they're a Christian. And I guarantee you 23 out of 25 of them will say, oh yeah, I'm a good Christian. Yet they still beat their wife. They still smoke crack. They're still committing adultery, kicking their dog, cheating on their taxes. Don't even go to church except for Easter and Christmas. Come on, I'm going to come to your address right now. I'm telling you, we have lowered the standard of Christianity and the fundamentals of elementary principles of Christ and the very the basics of Christianity. We've lowered it so far down that when someone actually upholds the standards of the Bible, someone thinks they're a whack, someone thinks they're a nut, someone thinks they're a fanatic, someone thinks they're crazy. I've never heard of this West Sparta Church of Christ, but you know what? Thank God that there's churches out there that are actually concerned about your soul and your spirit. They're concerned about. Now, could they have done this another way? Sure. They probably could have worded a little bit better in the letter and said, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. We're concerned. Is everything okay? Can we send someone to pray for you? Is it okay? Yeah, it wasn't about the principle, but it was about the delivery. Okay, So can we just talk about that for a second? But overall, these are probably some old school hardliners, which honestly, we need some of them back today. But let me read what else the Apostle Paul said. Because if the first part of this didn't make you mad, maybe what the Apostle Paul said in the latter part of his letter to the church of Corinth in chapter 5, it may stir you up a little bit more. He says, he tells the leadership, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, we've covered this, disfellowship him. Listen to this. And then he explains why. Your glorying is not good. What do you mean you're glorying? The church didn't see anything wrong with this guy as a member of the church. Come on, sitting in a pew, bringing his tithe. Maybe he was on leadership. We don't know. But he was committing fornication. He knew it. The church knew it. The mother-in-law knew it. And everybody knew it. But when it got back to the Apostle Paul, he had a problem with it, and he addressed the church and said, what in the world's going on down there? You're puffed up. You're not mourning about this. There's no repentance about this. There's no leadership meeting about this. And why is this kid still in the church on and still a member of this church? Why hasn't this been dealt with? Listen to this. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Guys, listen. People ask me all the time, well, Brother Ricky, why do you think there's not the moves of the Holy Spirit in the church today like there was in times past? Why aren't we seeing people raised from the dead? Why aren't we seeing devils cast out? Listen, it's hard to cast out a devil when they're comfortable in the pew in the church sitting with other believers. It's hard to raise the dead when the church has not got any power because, come on, they're willfully living in sin. So we guys, it's so frustrating. I mean, you just want to beat your head against a brick wall because why can't we get this and understand this? Listen, you do things the Bible way, you get Bible results. You go outside of the blueprints of this Word of God and you start forming your own church, doing things your own way. Then you cross over and you get into what the Apostle Paul warned about when he said, we have another Jesus, another Spirit, and another doctrine. Did you know he talked about that in the book of Galatians? And he talked about it in the church of Corinth. He said, and you very well may put up with it. If anyone comes and preaches another Jesus or another spirit shows up or another doctrine, he said, there's people in the church that are putting up with this stuff. They're embracing it. They're tolerating it. And they think it's church as usual. Nobody getting raised from the dead. Nobody laying hands on the sick and people getting healed. Nobody getting delivered. People can't. I mean, is there churches removing the altars, removing the water baptisms? No devils being cast out. Listen, we've got to a point where we become so used to no devils being cast out of churches that when someone actually casts a devil out of a church, we question whether it's even authentic or it's real or it's fanatical. The New Testament called casting out devils normal. In 2021, we call casting out devils radical and crazy talk. Because I can't get half the church to even believe in demons and devils and even in hell. So Paul says, we got to keep the feast, but without the old leaven. In other words, if we got to shave off half the church then that's what we got to do. I believe it was either Spurgeon or Finney said, I'd rather have 10 people in the church full of the Holy Ghost and turn the world upside down with 10 people than a church full of 10,000 dead man's bones, full of religion and ain't doing nothing but taking up space and wasting air. Listen, before the day of Pentecost came, Acts chapter 2, did you know that there was 500 brethren? 500. But then something happened before the day of Pentecost. You know what that was? A process of elimination. 380 people got shaved off and there was left with 120. I got a word for you. You want the word? Before you're ever going to see great increase and great multiplication, there will always come a separation, a great subtraction. So don't get nervous, don't get anxious, and don't get disappointed. If you're a pastor, you're a leader, whatever the case may be, you're in a church, and you start seeing a great subtraction because there's always a great separation or a great subtraction before there can ever be a great multiplication. You know why that is? It's called pruning. You can't get the growth of anything unless you first cut some dead stuff off of it. So Paul's saying we got to cut some dead stuff out of the church so that it can promote growth, so that we can get more fruit out of it. Oh, let me go a little bit farther. 1 Corinthians 5:9. Paul keeps going. Quote, I wrote to you in my epistle, do not keep company with sexually immoral people. Stop. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to us. He's talking to the church. He's talking to Ecclesia. Listen, if you've heard me in any length of time, I'm telling you the whole New Testament, there's a separation of us and them. All through the Bible, us and them. Here, he's talking to us, not them. He said, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. In other words, he's saying, I'm talking to us, not them. He said, I'm not talking to them, because if I was talking to them, we would have to go out of the world. Listen, I'm going to prove it to you. Watch this. But now I've written to you. Who's you? Us, the church, the ecclesia. I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. And I'm going to add this, or a sister. Anyone who calls himself a Christian. That's us. Who is sexually immoral, which means living, sleeping with, shacking up, in case you don't understand what I'm talking about, having sex with someone outside of marriage, that is sexually immoral. Listen to what he says. Who is anyone who names himself a Christian or a brother who's doing this, or they're practicing coveting, or they're an idolater. In other words, you know what that means? They actually believe that every way is a way to heaven. Why, brother, do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? There's no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved. And they say, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe Jesus is the only way. I believe he's only one of the ways. And I believe that every other way is a way to God. Paul said, don't associate with and don't be yoked with anyone who sits there and calls himself a Christian. And listen, if you don't even believe Jesus Christ is Lord, you are not a Christian. Come on, if we can't get that right, listen, if you don't believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you can't even be a Christian. Listen to what he says. I know this is just like, people are like, oh, I can't. I mean, I take a deep breath. I know it stings a little bit. Listen. Listen to this. He says, anyone who's sexually immoral or a covetous or they're an idolater or a reviler. Come on, they're always starting fights. Or a drunkard. Hello, a drunkard. Or an extortioner. Listen to what he says. Don't even eat with such a person. What kind of person? We're going to clear this up today. Because remember, in the New Testament, when Jesus, he went to tax collectors' homes and he sat with sinners and he had dinner with sinners, and people all the time as Christians use that as an excuse to go out here and party and smoke weed and do drugs and drink to the drunk and do all this stuff. And here's what they say. Well, you know, Jesus, he sat with all them people. He partied like it was nothing. He, if Jesus was here today, he'd go to the clubs and he'd go to the parties and he'd go to the bars and he'd do all that. No, 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 no. Jesus, the reason he went to the tax collector's house, and the reason why he would go to the Pharisee's house, and the reason why he went to those dinners, and the reason why he sat around the table, was not that he could have a good time, not because somebody was throwing a party. Come on, somebody. It was because he was on a mission, because he had a mandate, and the will of him was to do the will of his Father. He was there, come on, because it's not the well that need a doctor, but it's the sick who needs a doctor. Listen what he says here. Paul says, watch this. Don't even eat with such a person. What person is he talking about? He's talking about any individual who calls himself believers who are still living the same life that God called you out of. Some of y'all are just like blown away about what I'm saying here. So let me see if I can find this real quick. Let me just expound a little bit more, since some people are just like, can't believe what I'm telling you here. Let me pull this up. This is live. I understand that we're live, and I didn't plan on going here. So I know everybody on podcast, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. Because you've got to hear this. Watch this. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me go over here. 1 Corinthians 6. Again, Paul's talking to the church of Corinth. Here we go. Ready? All right. Hold on. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know? Who's he talking to? The church. Us. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither shall fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the pastor said they would. I don't care. What's the Bible say? But my denomination says it's okay, Brother Ricky. Phooey on it. If it doesn't line up with this Bible, then they have gone in the way of 1 Timothy 4. This says, the Spirit expressly says that in latter days, some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You want to know what a doctrine of devils is? It's when they get up and preach the permission of something that the Bible condemns. That is a doctrine of demons. You see, you sound like you're mad. Listen, it's righteous indignation. Somebody's got to stand up for this foolishness. Listen to this. Paul says, he goes on and he says, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to verse 11. Here it is. And such were, that's past tense, some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, can you guys see this? There has to be an evident mark on your life. There has to be fruit. If you call yourself a Christian, listen, guys, I don't know how to get this any plainer across. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creation. And behold, all things have passed away. The old man has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. You cannot live the same life you used to live if you've been truly born again, truly saved, and truly, come on, transformed by his presence and the washing of his word and his spirit and regenerated. You can't do it. It's impossible. And listen, if you try to sin afterwards, you're going to be miserable. Because the Holy Spirit's going to keep you miserable. He's going to keep you in tears. You're not going to enjoy it the same as it used to be. So Paul says, I got to go back. I'm going way too long on this. 1 Corinthians 5. Listen. He says, we have to make a distinction. You know, the Bible says, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Not hang out with them. Again, us and them, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you into myself, and you will be sons and daughters of the Most High. There's a separation. Somebody said there's a separation. Listen to this. Paul says, for what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? You know who that is? That is not Christian. So watch this. Let me read on. Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Listen, right here, we can no longer argue about this. Paul settles this argument. We in the body of Christ, the reason why these elders wrote this letter to this woman is not because they're trying to condemn her. I don't believe that. I believe it's a general concern for her, disfellowshipping her self from the body of Christ, because when we come together, we hold each other accountable. Listen, if I'm living in sin, the last thing I want to do is go to church. Huh? The last thing I want to do, if I'm living in fornication, the last thing I want to do is get around my pastor. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. You ever notice that when someone starts backsliding and they don't want to be in the presence of God, they don't want to read the Bible anymore, they don't want to go to church anymore, you ever notice that's when they begin to isolate themselves? They don't want to get around other believers. They don't want to get around the pastor. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear good preaching. Why? Because again, that's the enemy's pulling them away. But listen, if you're living right and you're pursuing God and you're hungry for what he has, you desire to be in his presence. You'll want to be with other believers. You'll want to be in church, and you'll want to be around people that are going to hold you accountable. Come on, this is just good old-fashioned preaching that we don't hear anymore today. So Paul, let's just end this right here. Paul said, for all those people to say, well, you know, judge not that you may, you know, we're not to judge. We can't judge people, Brother Ricky, or we'll be judged ourselves. No, listen, there's a difference. Paul said, we are not to judge them. Them is those who don't have a covenant with God. But Paul said, those who claim to be believers in the body of Christ, it is our responsibility to hold each other accountable. How do you do that? We judge our fruit. This is, again, this is what this letter is addressing. It's been brought to our attention that you're living in fornication. And unless you repent, listen what they said. They said, you have so much time to repent. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Revelation, and it talks about to one of the seven churches, it says there's a Jezebel in the church that's committing fornication with men in the church. And God says, I am giving you a space to repent. Again, biblical. They're giving this individual a space to repent. And if she doesn't, then what did they say? We have no choice but to disfellowship with you. So listen, if a Christian has a problem with, again, the context of this letter, then they've got a problem with the Bible. Again, was the delivery good? Probably not. It probably could have been delivered a little bit better, and the expression of it a little bit better, but the context, the concern of that church and that eldership is absolutely biblical, and I've just proved that to you. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. want to share some stuff with you guys real quick, and then we'll pray. And I know exactly what I want to pray about today. So again, right there on the screen, endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. That's going to be our main website. That's where you can follow us. That, please bookmark it, subscribe to our main website where you can get a newsletter in your inbox every single day. And if you've not yet downloaded our free app, it is available on Android. It's available on Apple. Get that into your hands so you can catch up and keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our, you can keep up with our app. You can keep up with, You can keep up with our podcast at the bottom of the app. Keep up with our YouTube channel. All that's going to be there on the app. So again, we want to encourage you to go and download that as well. If you've not yet become a partner of our ministry and that the Lord's been putting it on your heart, because listen, if you believe in biblical truth, if this ministry informs you, it equips you, it edifies you, it builds you up, it's a solid foundation of truth, or maybe this is, you consider this your home church. There's a lot of people, they consider ETH their home church because they don't have no other option where they live. Whatever the case may be, we want you to be obedient to the Spirit of God. Help us to remain strong and continue to do what the Lord has called us to do. And you can give online electronically through the app, or you can give through the main website. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can give, and you can give electronically right there, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out right there on your screen at Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So again, guys, as always, we appreciate you taking the time out today. Please, if you would, guys, share this, tag some people in this that you believe will be blessed by this message today. I know it's a little bit different, but I believe it needed to be addressed because these things need to be dealt with from a biblical manner. I pray that whoever this woman is, I pray that obviously I believe the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with her. What I am afraid of is there'll be so many lukewarm, ignorant Christians. And when I say ignorant, ignorant is, that's not derogatory, guys. The word ignorant means lack of knowledge. It means lack of information. So when I say lukewarm, ignorant Christians, I'm generally concerned that there's going to be an overwhelming majority of lukewarm, ignorant Christians that's going to give this woman the green light to keep doing what she's doing. And I'm afraid for her. I'm afraid for her soul. So you know what we're going to do right now? I want every one of you guys right there that are watching live on Facebook, or maybe you watch this by YouTube or watching or listening to the rebroadcast. Let's stop for a moment and not only pray for this woman, but listen, if you're watching this today and you're living in fornication, you're according to the Bible, if you're committing sexual immorality, friends, this is not about a church membership per se. This is about, you will not inherit the kingdom of God according to the Bible. So we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for this woman right now that repentance, general repentance, be made. Now, what does that mean? It means you're going to repent, and you're going to, the Bible says the word repent is twofold. It's not only to change your mind or change your thinking, but if you change your thinking and change your mind, you're going to change the direction. Now that, listen, what does that mean? Does that mean you're never going to make mistakes? You're never going to slip up? No. Listen, when my wife and I were dating, we had enough common sense that one of the things we had to do was we made a rule that we could not go out and be alone. We would not go on dates alone. We would not get in the car alone. We would not be in an apartment alone. We always had someone with us. Well, I believe that's just ridiculous. Yeah, but I believe that's why God has honored us, and we've been married for 21 years, and we've been faithful to one another. Why? Because we've done things the Bible way, and God has honored it. Okay. So you can call it old fashioned or radical, or whatever you want, but it is what it is. So we're going to pray for you today. Father, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice today, that's watching, listening, and Lord, they're maybe they're listening to this today, And they're living in one of these categories that Paul addressed here. And they're claiming to be a member of a church. They're part of a denomination. Maybe they're an elder in the church. Maybe they're someone on staff. Maybe they're in the choir. They're on the praise team, the platform, whatever the case may be. Or they're just a member. And Lord, the Spirit of God is dealing with them today. And they say, Lord, and maybe you're saying, Father, forgive me. I pray the Holy Spirit begin to convict you. And you're making things right now. And you're making a point today. You're drawing a line in the sand today. And you're saying, I'm going to have this conversation with so-and-so. And I'm going to tell them, we can't live together anymore. We can't be sleeping around anymore. We're going to stop doing that today. We're going to draw a plumb line. We're going to make a point to go out in groups and not alone. Come on. We're going to make the necessary steps to keep ourselves from stumbling and keeping ourselves from falling, because we want to honor the Lord and because we want to live right so that our soul may not be in danger. If that's you today, I want you to begin to just be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. He's drawing you. He's wooing you today into repentance. He's someone today, I believe people are repenting right now. Maybe you say, well, I'm not living in fornication. I'm not living in adultery. But listen, you might be a drunkard. You might be an extortioner. You might be doing things that you know that are not ethically right. And God is dealing with you today. Come on, I believe the Bible says, be therefore holy as I am holy. Listen, I'm telling you, if you're looking for perfection in this preacher, you're not going to find it, because I have faults. I have weaknesses. I stumble and I fall. But that does not change the Bible. It does not change the Word of God. That's what I'm trying to express to you today. Come on, receive this today. Father, I pray that you touch lives today, transform lives today. Lord, I give them strength today. Lord, give them the courage today to come out from among them and be separate. There's some people that are listening to this broadcast today. God is he's showing you right now. He's revealing to you that you are yoked unequally with a group of friends. You've got a group. You've got two separate friends. You've got your church buddies, and you've got your undisclosed party buddies. Your people that you hang around with, that you talk a different way, you act a different way, you partake of things that they do and that they practice that you know your church friends don't, and you would never do on a Sunday morning or at a church meeting. Come on, stop doing that. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Come on. Come on, we got to get back to the Word. We got to get back to obedience. And I believe God will bless His Word and bless your obedience in Jesus' name. Come on, do you receive this today? I want you to receive it today with me today. Amen and amen. God bless you guys again today. We appreciate you taking the time to come out for this, come on for this special broadcast. I believe there's conviction happening today. I believe people are going to get right today. I believe people are willfully going to make changes today, and it's for the eternal better of them. Come on, I believe that with my whole heart today. So again, we want to appreciate and take the time to appreciate you guys for first coming on, taking the time out to listen to this broadcast today. And second, we thank all of our partners, our supporters, whether it be financially or prayers or both. Again, thank you. All the letters, guys, we're sending out, everyone who sends us letters or cards or gives donations by mail, we just sent out a bunch of letters this week. So you're going to be receiving some letters and thank you letters from us in the mail, because we want to show our gratitude of thanksgiving to you guys again. And I just want to express that today. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off for this weekend. We'll be back on here next week with more encouragement, more equipping information, or whatever the Lord just puts on our heart. We want to be led by the Spirit. But until then, may the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His countenance shine upon you. And I pray the Lord put a hedge about you. May there be no harm, danger, or disabling accidents prevail over you and your family this weekend. And we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.